Thank you for listening to the Renovate Life Church of God's broadcast. Here's today's message from our pastor, James Dimmel.
Oh, yeah, that's some deep stuff. Deep state nine right there. Won't we come to church and we'll learn about Jesus instead of learn about crazy? The Bible says, or theologians say, not the Bible, I need to make this clear, that their refusal to bow was so important to them that they turned their back on the statue. The Bible doesn't say that, but could you imagine? Everybody's bowing down, and they turn their back on the statue. I'm not going to bow. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm not even going to be tempted by it. You hearing me today? Now, I got to ask a question, because the Bible says that some people around them noticed that they would not bow. The people in verse 8, as a matter of fact, that they had the opportunity to get rid of these boys, and they realized that they would not bow. If you're bowing, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then how in the world you got time to talk about me? If you bowed down, how are you looking at me? If you bowed down, how in the world do you got time to go and say, hey, he did that? You know what I'm saying? Is there any real people in the house? Why are people always coming and saying, well, you did that? Why are they always commenting on your Facebook page? Why are they always saying all this stuff about you? If you're so worried about me, come live with me, and I'll take some time to show you what I do. You know what I'm saying? That's a real statement from a real person. I'm sick of people dictating to us what we're going to do because they put something on Facebook. Say what? Or we put something on Facebook and they said it was fake. You're fake. One, if you're bowed down and doing what you're supposed to do, you wouldn't have time to look at me. And for everything you got to do, you wouldn't see. You know, if you got that much time, maybe I can teach you how to do a few things. Because it seems like everybody's got all this time. They got time to whine. They got time to complain. They got time to talk about you. But they ain't got time to come to the house of God. They ain't got time. Yeah, somebody amen that. Who am I talking to this morning? Talking about people that are committed. The Bible says that these people were watching them. Can I show you something else? Not everybody in the church is a blood-bought child of the king. The Bible says that the Pharisees and Sadducees watched Jesus. They watched him to catch him up in trouble. They watched him to see if he was going to disobey the law. Well, how can the King of Glory disobey the law? It's kicking in. People are sitting in the church house and they're watching you. Say what? Yeah, they're watching you not so they can pray for you. I'm talking about people in the church house. I'm not talking about, you can expect those people out there to do it. But what I want you to understand is when we come to the house of God, this is a place of unity. This is a place of understanding. This is a Holy Ghost ICU for the lost, the broken, the weak, the weary, and the stray. When you come to this house, you shouldn't be judged by anybody but the Lord. But there are people sitting in the house that are judging you, and the Bible says they're watching you, and they're Pharisees and they're Sadducees. Because they're sad, you see, because they don't have what you have. They don't understand what you understand. They don't understand that prayer changes things. Oh, can somebody give it up for prayer this morning? Some of you need a pill, because I know I don't. If you're worried about what everybody else is supposed to do, and you're watching, listen, the Pharisees are watching because they're looking for your position. The establishment wants your title. Now, I don't like to throw the word hater around. I think that's a little bit ridiculous, Beretta. everybody is a hater. You know? And I don't really believe that, but I do believe this, that everybody's got some haters. And here's the thing. If you let the haters dictate to you what you're going to do, listen, first of all, my goodness, let me tell you this. Here's a little chip of gold for you. If you are not doing anything, you're not going to have no haters. Huh? If you're sitting at home in your recliner, you're not going to have any haters. You know what I'm saying, Paul Spry? Nobody's going to tell you how to do it if you're sitting at home. And here's the thing. If we would get our focus on the haters eating hater chips and eating hater tots and drinking hatergate and listen, get a hold of Jesus Christ, we would understand that God would move with power, anointing, strength, wisdom, and transform the way we feel. You know why? Because when you get a hold of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the haters and whatever they're drinking. Anybody real in the house? Stop crying over the process, because the process is coming to you no matter what. The process comes to every man. Haters are going to hate. Stop allowing them to change or dictate who you are. And here's the thing, if you got haters, instead of engaging with them. Do you know every time that you engage with the haters, you're taking time off what God has for you to do? Every time you get involved with the people that say, well, this is happening, that's happening, and you focus on that, you are taking time off what God's trying to tell you. Let me be real with you today. If you don't have people talking, you're not doing it right. I'm going to say that again. If you don't have people talking, if you don't have people fighting you, if you don't have people trying to tell you how to do it, you're not doing it right. You should look at it as a badge of honor. The Bible says he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I need my enemies. You want me to tell you something else? I don't have time. We got tacos. Enemies make you who you are. Say what? Let me tell you again down here. Enemies make you who you are. Because enemies make you pray. I need some enemies in my life. Enemies make you go to God's house and believe that God can do it. Now, everybody is not an enemy. Everything is not an enemy, but there are enemies that attack your soul. There's enemies that attack your life, and they want to take you down. But here's what I need you to understand. You are the answer for the cancer. You need to get a hold of Jesus Christ. You need to move, listen, into a state of prayer. You need to move into a state of anointing. You need to move into a state of I will not bow. I will not relent. I will not let go. Listen, all of the arrows of Satan can come at me at once, but I'll fight in the shade. Got three people on board. I got more to praise him for. I got more to stand for. Do you? God guides me and he directs me. Listen, there's times that I want to do it on my own, but I know that I cannot do it without him. These three Hebrew boys understood one thing. They could not be where they were at without God. Listen, why in the world have we set God aside for everything else when the byproduct of knowing him is blessing? Everybody wants to focus on the blessing. Why would you focus on the blessing? Because it's a byproduct. Instead of letting them, the enemies, come against you, why don't you go to your enemies and link up with them and say, we'll go up together. Huh, that's a novel idea right there. Listen, what if we had some real people, had some real conversations? Like, I think this is, I'm abrasive, but I think this is how mine would go. I don't like you. Say what? But I believe that together we can learn from each other, because I probably don't like you because I don't know you. And you probably don't like me because you don't know me. But if we have differences, it's okay. Because we're going to link arms and we're going to go up together with Jesus Christ. And by the end of the day, I'm going to love you because I've spent time with you. And we begin to build relationship with each other. See, we're not building relationships in the church, and we wonder why we're always in a tizzy. The Bible says unity. Satan tries to break us up and break the unity, because God knows if we ever unify that things will begin to happen. No, when we unify, alcoholics will not be alcoholics anymore. When we unify, listen, drug addicts will not be drug addicts anymore. When we unify, the pornographer will get off of pornography. Does anybody in the house understand what I'm saying? Okay. We got an epidemic in MacArthur, a drug epidemic. You understand that? We're ranked number 8 in the nation. And you think that it's okay. Listen, it affects every piece of society. It affects the rich and it affects the poor. You hearing what I'm saying? And if we link together, Satan don't want you linked together, because if he can put that stuff in their veins, he can keep disunity. But if a church of God would come together and realize that God wants to move with power and anointing, it would change. I promise you, it would change. I gotta hurry. Tacos are getting cold. The last thing that I want to talk to you about. Now listen very carefully. If you've missed everything I said, if you're texting, put your phone down just for a minute. Nobody getting up and walking out, please. The reason I came here today, you got to trust God, even if there's consequences. This is crazy to see. When the tattletales tell the king, he immediately offers them what he thinks is grace. His command was this: if you do not bow, you die. However, when he encounters the 3 Hebrew boys, he gives them a second chance, and he thinks that's grace. So he has a second shutdown. You know why? It's for all those yo's that didn't do it the first time. And so what he does is he says, hey, I'm going to shut everything down again. And when the bands play, I'm going to let you bow. You ain't picking up what I'm laying down, but you will. When they sing, you bow. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. I'm going to give you one more chance. Don't you defy me. I'm getting tired of being tolerant. And then he says this, and I still ain't made it to the good point. He says, and if you don't bow, what God's going to save you? Oh, snap. This guy was not right bright. See, when it's all about the Hebrew boys and the king, it's okay. But when you start throwing God in the mix, baby, let me tell you, you're in trouble. And he says, listen here. What God's going to save you if I throw you in the fire? Like, basically, oh, you won't bow. Who do you think you are? Right? See, when it's all about him and them, it's okay. But when you throw God in the mix, then God has to show up. He might have been okay if he was just done what he was going to do, throw them bad boys in the fire and lock the door. But he has to bring God into it. Oh, you think you're not going to worship me? You think that you're not going to listen to me? Well, that's okay. I'll take care of this. I got this covered. What about your God? And so, as Forrest Gump said, God showed up. Listen, Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. And he said unto the king, O Nebi, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We got some Christians in the house that are not afraid to answer. What they basically says, I don't even have to think about it. See, there's some people that may not have been raised in the church. They don't understand like you do. But what I want you to understand is when they get the real blessing and understanding of Jesus, they're going to pick this thing up better than you did. And they're going to come under the banner of Christianity, and they ain't going to walk the way they used to walk, and they ain't going to talk the way. You know that Jesus Christ still saves sinners? Novel idea, right? He came to this earth, and he came to save that which was lost, and he's still saving that which is lost. You may have come in this room today and you may have been lost. You may have been broken and you may have been undone. You may not have had the understanding that these boys had that said, hey, I don't even have to think about this. It comes second nature to me. It was how I was raised. It's what I do. And here's what I want you to understand. That is completely okay. Because listen, we need people to understand and want to read the Word of God. We need people to want to know what salvation is. And hey, baby, that might be you. And I want you to understand that Jesus Christ came to save you. He came to set you free. He came to make you whole. He came not so you could reject Him, but so you could pick Him up and walk with Him, because He's the greatest thing humanity has ever known. I'm not careful to answer you, O King. O Lord. And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. We're not careful to answer thee in these things. Oh, I read the wrong verse. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Verse 18. This is the place I want to get to. But if not. When you got real convictions, your convictions are going to cost you. Salvation is free. But there's going to come a time when Jesus Christ requires you to stand up for what you believe in. Do I got any people in the house that will stand up for what they believe in? Mm-mm. History will repeat itself. History will repeat itself. We haven't learned from it, so it will repeat itself. Do you remember when Hitler put him in the gas chambers? They stood, the Jews, you know, the people that we don't want to talk about, they stood for Jesus Christ, even though that they were going to take a breath and it would be their last. I'm talking about some people that are committed that will say, but if he does not save me, I'm still going to stand for him. No, it's coming to that day. I'm prophesying right into your life and you don't even know. I'm not even a prophet. I'm just reading the Word of God. But if not, be it known unto you, or thee, O King, that we're not going to serve thy gods. We're not going to worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, to a different point, do you remember when God saved you? I'm about to close. Jared, better run to the piano or you're really going to have issues with your tacos. I remember when I got saved. And here's the thing, I could pass this mic around the room. I remember how dark it was for me. I was a hellion at best. I remember how messed up I was and how messed up my life was. And I remember when God saved me, I was sitting in the very back of the church and I thought, can God save someone like me? As a matter of fact, I had a pastor once tell me, you've gone too far. you'll never be saved. And I played that over and over in my mind. Let me tell you something. As long as there is breath in your body, you can't go too far. You can't run out of His grasp. You can't run out of His reach. But what I want to understand, I want you to understand today is, I could pass this mic all around this room, and I could start, and you would start with, I had struggles. I've sinned. I haven't been what I was supposed to be. I've been broken more than I've been fixed. And there's this place that you would get after you told everything that you were willing to tell. You know what I mean? Because it's always worse than what you'll tell in church. There's this place you'll get. But God. I was a sinner, but God. I was broken, but God. I was so messed up that I couldn't get myself right. I thought I could, but God. Every person that knows the Lord in this place, if I give you the mic, you eventually will get to the place in your story where you say, but God. See, there's people in the house that don't have a but God. There's people in the place that, but if He doesn't, they don't have that. They don't have the tenacity because they don't understand the love of Christ. You understand the love of Christ is more than you can fathom? The love of Christ is more than I can tell you. The love of Christ is greater than you'll ever understand. The love of Christ is relentless, never ending. Love that'll come after you when you're not worthy to be come after you. You know, that's another thing. Some people in the house feel like, well, I'm not worthy for God to come after. Well, guess what? I wasn't either. Guess what? You're sitting in a whole church of hypocrites that, listen, we were not worthy for God to come after, but we all got a story, but God. But if, but if God don't save me, O King, you know what? I'll get right in the fire for you. There ain't no throwing me. Don't even touch me. Because I believe God's going to save me. But if He don't, I'm going to serve Him. I'm not going to worship your statue. You can forget it. You can be like the Ronco food dehydrator. Set it and forget it. I set my eyes on Him. I set my course on Him. I set my direction to God. And when you set it, you don't have to worry about it. See, in this life, you got to worry about everything. You're going to have issues. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have people knock you down, and you're going to think that a Philadelphia linebacker hit you and blindsided you and you don't know what to do. You're going to have times when you ache for people in prayer. You're going to have times when you don't know what to do and it's bigger than you are. But if you'll get to the place that you believe God with everything that you are, oh, it's going to change you. And it's going to change you. They say that you can't change. But I remember the day He saved me. It changed everything. It changed the way I talked. I walked a little differently. Why? Because the Bible says you're the feet that carry the gospel. You're the hands that reach it out to people. And you're the mouthpiece that proclaims His name. I will not bow. Do you hear what I said? When are you going to get resolute? When are you going to say, I'm giving it all up and I will not bow? The Bible says when the church turns its face to Zion, we will be like men that dreamed. See, we forgot. We're so worried about what's going on in the world. We forgot to dream. Welcome to the Dream Room.
Thank you for joining us today. If this message has uplifted you, we would love to hear your story. Go to www.renovatelifecog.com and click contact. Your testimonies are a blessing to us throughout the week. Renovate Life is a place of healing for the lost, the broken, the weak, weary, and stray.